They're all packed. No, we cannot. No, they're all coming with us. Huh? No, all the camels are coming. The villagers may use mules for plowing. I have to address the household. We'll talk after. Sorry, I am a little late. Sorry for the wise guys that were here wasting your time. Where'd they get those jokes? I didn't know we had discovered Newfoundland yet. No! I am here to share with you. You know that something is happening. The house has been going crazy, and there is no doubt many rumors have gone. But I need to share with you what is happening. I am going on a journey. A great journey that fills me with joy. And I want to share it. God is doing something in the world today as never done before. God is doing something in the world today He will never do again. And I want to be part of it. I want to see it. It is God in my lifetime, and there is no greater joy than God working in your lifetime. So. 2,000 years ago, there was a man from our midst that heard the voice of one true God, the man Abraham. He heard the voice of one true God, and most people laughed. Most people said he was mad. But he was willing to leave our great cities to go live in the wilderness in order to hear the voice of one true God. That gave him respect. And we studied him. We listened to him. We followed his movement after that. Abraham, 2,000 years ago. Over 1,000 years ago, another great man from here also heard the voice of one true God, Balaam. And many times people came to him for wisdom from the one true God. At one time he was hired by a foreign king to come and curse people that were moving into his land. And he got there only to realize that those people were the children of Abraham. He found them. And so he could not curse them, but blessed them. And we still have what he said. And one thing that he said was, out of Jacob there will rise a star. There will be a star. God promised Abraham that there will be kings descended from him. He promised that Jacob there would be kings descended from him. And then Balaam said, there will be a star rising from Jacob. We have seen the star. It is there. Not where a star should rise. 2,000 years ago, God began to promise. Today, we see it. Today, we see it. We would be fools to not spend everything we have to follow, to go there. So I leave you in good hands. I hope to return. But if I do not, you will know that I leave with great joy, and that I will not waste another day of my life doing anything other than finding out what God is doing. So we have prepared gifts. We studied again the writings of the children of Abraham, and we have prepared gifts that we take. We take gold. If he is truly a great king, he deserves the best the world has to offer. We have taken frankincense. Frankincense, you know, is used by priests in temples to create a nice aroma. It's used by doctors to create healing. If he is to be a great king, he will bring his people closer to God and heal their wounds. And we have taken myrrh. Myrrh mostly we use to wrap dead bodies. Because if he is to be a great king, He will not only be known by how he lives, but how he dies. That is a great king. I will not see you for a long time. It will take years to go. I hope to come back and see you again. But if I do not, you should know that I am following God. That I am following a 2,000-year-old promise. Who knows what God can do in the next 2,000 years? But this is our time. And you may not be able to travel with us. But if you want joy, you will find out what God is doing in your life. You will spare no expense to find out what God is doing and to be part of it. Then you will know joy. As for me, I'm going to see the king.
All right, thank you, Brian. Let's pray before we continue on. Father, we just thank you for this morning. And it's been a full morning already, and I feel like we could just leave right now and be satisfied. But so as we take a look at your word now, I just pray that you would fill us even more and that you would, that whatever anybody here is facing today or tomorrow, that you would let them know that you are there for them and that joy can be theirs. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we've been unwrapping some gifts over the last few weeks in the Advent season. This is the third Sunday of Advent. The first Sunday, we unwrapped the gift of what? Hope. Second Sunday, the gift of peace. And today is the gift of joy. And we're going to wrap it all up next week with the gift of love, baby. That's right. I want to read one verse or two verses this morning. And just to set the stage for you, this is from Luke chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11. And Jesus has been born. The angel showed up to some shepherds in a field to pronounce to them this message that the Messiah had come. And this is what they said. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." So the Messiah, or Jesus, came to bring joy for all people. So I want to ask you this morning, and I want you to answer back, what brings you joy? And don't give me the Sunday school answer, okay? Think about really the times when you feel most joyful. What are those times? You can shout it out if you need a microphone. As long as you are no longer than 12 seconds, you can use it. Anybody? What brings you joy? What things bring you joy? Got somebody raising their hand somewhere back here? The blessings of friends. That is beautiful. You stole my message. That's great. Anyone else? Over here.
Music.
What's that?
Playing music.
Playing music. Yeah, it fills you with joy listening to music too. What else? What's that?
Family.
Family. Yes. What else?
Grandkids.
There's a couple back here, Chris.
Hanging out with family.
Hanging out with family. Another one back here, Chris. You got it back there? Right in the middle.
Friends,
yeah. Yeah, anyone else?
When my fishing rod is going.
Oh, yes. I know that feeling. That Amen. Little tug in the heart. Amen. I know that feeling. You know, asking that question is very, very important. There's another one back here. Let's go another one back there. Go ahead, Chris.
Being alive.
Being alive. Being alive. It's good to be alive. And we need to celebrate those things. Asking that question is so important because it will determine the direction of your life. One more. Go ahead.
Sharing Christ's love.
Sharing
with people
Christ's love.
In the neighborhood.
Yes. Yeah, I think there's probably nothing that gives greater joy than sharing the joy that Christ has given us, right? Oh, we got another one over here.
Being able to see God work in someone's life and make a change.
Yeah. And we're going to see that come out in some of the scriptures that we read this morning. Being able to see God working change in somebody's life. All right, another one back over here. Yikes.
The great joy we have when somebody accepts Christ and we have a new family member in the kingdom.
Yeah, and even the heaven, the angels rejoice then, right? Yeah, there's a young lady back there. We may not get out of here this morning, people.
The love.
What? Translation, please.
The love.
The love, baby. Love. Yeah, there's one more back here, Chris. The love, baby. Yeah.
Happiness.
Happiness, yeah. All right. Okay, I think we're going to shut her down. That was all good
Christmas.
Stuff.
Christmas.
Christmas, yeah. The thing that brings us the most joy is the thing that we treasure the most. And the thing that we treasure the most is the thing that will bring us the most joy. And typically, the things that we chase after, the things that we think will bring us the most happiness or the most joy, really don't. They're illusory. They're imitations. They're counterfeits of the real thing that brings us joy. And so if we can establish what is the true source of joy, then we can change our direction and head towards and pursue and chase after the things that really bring us joy instead of trying to satisfy that hole that we have in our heart or trying to justify our existence with other things. You know, we will always pursue or chase after the thing that we think will bring us the most joy, but our thinking gets twisted sometimes. And we the other thing is that we tend to think that we can only be happy if our problems are taken care of. I'm going to wait to be happy until my finances are better or until whatever obstacle it is in my life right now, I'm going to wait until then until I'm happy. And the problem with that, of course, is that down here on this earth, we'll never be happy if that's the case. We'll never be filled with joy because as soon as we take care of one problem, another problem comes in to fill its place. Because life down here on earth is full of obstacles. It's full of problems. We cannot escape them. And so if we're waiting for that time when we don't have any problems before we're joyful, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. It's going to be somewhere in the distance. And so somehow we need to learn how to be filled with joy even in the middle of our stuff. How many would love to have that gift from God? Well, the Bible says that this is what Jesus came to give. Now, last week we talked about the inextricable link between joy and peace. If you have peace, you will have joy. You cannot have one without the other. If you have joy, you will have peace. And Jesus came to give us peace, and he came to give us joy. What sort of things cause you to lose your joy or tempt you to lose your joy? There's another question for you. What tempts you to lose your joy? Yell it out.
Worrying.
Worrying. About what?
Everything.
Everything. How many of you are worriers? You got some worriers here, some honest people? Yeah? All the rest of you are liars? What other things? What tempts you to lose your joy? What?
People.
People. Yeah, man, I hate people. Love them and hate them. No, we don't hate them. But yeah, I mean, relationship problems, right? What else? What?
Stinking thinking.
Lots of stinking thinking we have. What are someone else over here?
Illness.
Yeah, if we're sick, we've got some debilitating illness, all of a sudden we are doing okay, and then we get that cold. Oh, man. Again. Anything else? Okay. Sure. So you're disappointed. Somebody was said that they're going to come over, and they couldn't come over to see you. So you get disappointment. When we get disappointed by so many things, and we can get to the place where we can sort of sense our joy being sucked out of us, and we really need to become aware of our thought life. What's happening in our thoughts? What sort of things cause me to lose my joy? And really, nothing can make me lose my joy. I choose to take a nosedive into the muck and mire of self-pity. That's my choice, because nobody can make us lose our joy. I'm going to read a whole bunch of scripture passages right now, and then when I'm finished reading them, I want you to tell me what's the common theme that's running through here. What's the common theme? But everyone, this is Romans 16, verse 19, but everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord. This makes me very happy. That's Romans 16, 19. And then 2 Corinthians 7, 4 to 7. I have the highest confidence in you, and I take pride in you. You have greatly encouraged me and made me happy. Some of your Bibles might say joyful. Despite our trouble. So even though there's trouble there, Paul says that he's happy because of certain things. When we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction, with battles on the outside and fear on the inside. But God, who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. His presence was a joy, but so was the news received. But so was the news he brought of the encouragement he received from you, when he told us how much you longed to see me, and how sorry you are for what happened, and how loyal you are to me. I was filled with joy. So keep on adding these things up, remembering them, and at the end we're going to read several of them, and then say, what's the common theme here? Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy. Some of your Bibles might say, make my joy complete by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others as well. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive from my work. Over to 1 Thessalonians 19 and 20. What gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns? It is you. Yes, you are our pride and joy. Down to verse 9. How we thank God for you, because of you we have great joy as we enter God's presence. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 3 to 4. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we're together again. Philemon, verse 4 through 7. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, and I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. And then, 2 John, verse 12. I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to do it with paper and ink, for I hope to visit you soon and talk with you face to face. Then our joy will be complete. Now, this is just a sampling. This is just a taste, morsel of what there is in the New Testament about the joy that God has given us and what brings joy. So what's the theme here? What's a common theme that sort of threads its way through there? Yeah. Joy and happiness, yeah. And what brings us that? Security in Christ. But let's take a look at the text, right? Community. Community. There is no joy outside of relationship. You cannot be on an island by yourself and be joyful. Well, you can if you have, you know, that connection, that communion with God. But God has created us for relationship. Relationship with himself and relationship with others. And that's why it's so important that we work on our relationships. So important. That's why over and over and over, right from the very beginning to the very end, that the theme is the same. Your relationships have to be good. We have to work on loving each other. If we don't have peace in our relationships with God and with others, we can't have joy. It's impossible. We will feel the joy being sucked right out of us. You know, everything is about relationships, and that's why Jesus said that there are only two commands that are important in the whole Bible, and they sum up everything else. And what are they? Love God and love people. That's all there is. And he said everything else is summed up in those two things, because what he wants for us is for us to have peace in our relationship with him and peace in our relationship with others. And so if there's a problem in a relationship down here on this earth, we will lack peace and we will lack joy. You know, we lull ourselves into thinking that we'll be happy when we finally get that promotion, or when we get that new car, or when we, you know, get enough money in the bank so that we don't have to worry about the bills at the end of the month, or the big house, or you know, I'll be happy when I can get some more free time. And there's nothing wrong with all these things, but these are imitations. They're counterfeits. They may give us some pleasure in the moment, but it doesn't last. And God's got something much better for us. I want to read a couple more passages here. A very important one in John chapter 15. And Jesus tells us very clearly here that he wants to fill us with joy. This is John chapter 15. This is the metaphor Jesus used about the Father being the gardener and Jesus being the vine and then his disciples being the branches that are attached to the vine. And he said, if you're going to have true joy, you have to stay attached to the vine. If you're going to produce fruit, you have to stay attached to the vine. And so he says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And so true disciples produce fruit. What's the fruit? What's he talking about here? The fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. What God wants to do is he wants to work in our hearts and change us, transform us, so that next year we have more of this in our lives. I should be a more loving person next year than I am right now. I should be more gentle next year than I am right now. I should be more faithful next year than I am right now. And if I'm not, then I'm spiritually constipated. And I need a spiritual enema. I'm sorry. We do. We have to. I'm sorry, that's gross. Carrying on. But this, when we bear fruit, when we produce much fruit, Jesus said, it brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Stay connected to him. Spend time in the Word. Marinate in the Gospels. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. The reason you were chosen, Jesus said, is to produce lasting fruit. If you aren't, there's something wrong. I won't go there again. So that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. It's what God's called us to. He's called us to grow in our capacity to love. And if we aren't, there's a problem. And you know what? When that happens, when we grow in our capacity to love, nobody is expecting us to be perfect right now because we never will. But we need to be growing. And when we are growing, then the world takes a look at us and they stand up and they notice Jesus. That's the goal. One last passage from Romans chapter 5. None of this is possible without the cross, okay? The cross of Jesus. We have the cross there. It's casting a shadow on that wall over here. And the cross should be central in our lives. The cross of Jesus. Because Jesus died 2,000 years ago. He gave us peace with God. And because of that, we can also have peace in our relationships. Therefore, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, since we have been made right with God in God's sight by faith, so we've been made right with him, we have peace with God, that means, We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, another word for joy, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. So it doesn't matter, the trials, the obstacles, the pain in our lives, they don't have to get out of the way in order for us to have joy. And as a matter of fact, we're going to see that they actually help us get there if we have a right attitude. Endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ. He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice or be filled with joy in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. It's all about relationship. Relationship with the God who created the heavens and the earth, and then relationship down here on the horizontal level. And if you're here this morning and you're struggling for joy, you're lacking peace, then there is something that's wrong either in your relationship with God or your relationship with somebody here on this earth, because those are the only two things that matter. Father, we just thank you that Jesus made the way. Thank you for the privilege of walking with you because of Jesus and the cross. Thank you that you made the way so that we could have peace with you. Thank you, Father, that we can have joy, we can have peace in the middle of whatever it is that we're going through. And so I just pray for each person here this morning, Lord, and ask that your peace and your joy would descend on us. In Jesus' name, amen.